tonight at the 17th chapter of Acts. The Lord willing, I'm going to preach tonight from Acts 17, the first 12 or 13 verses, on the subject, this Jesus whom I preach is Christ. And I take that title from Paul's own words. He said, this Jesus whom I preach is Christ. Now tonight we'll look at the first 12 or 13 verses of Acts 17. Then on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, I want you to look at the rest of the chapter, Acts 17. Paul's great sermon, which he preached on Mars Hill. I preached many times from this sermon and plan to do it again. So Sunday morning, we'll look at Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. Let's go back to verse 40. Of chapter 16. Verse 40 of chapter 16. And they went out of the prison. What we're talking about here is when Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke were cast into prison. The Philippian jailer, the earthquake, all of these things. We talked about this last week. Well, when they were finally released from prison, it says here they entered into the house of Lydia. They went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. The Lord had opened her heart to the gospel. And having opened her heart to the gospel, the Lord opened her home and her hands and her provisions to God's people. That's the first place that the disciples visited after they left the prison, was the home of Lydia. And when Paul and his friends, it says here, they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, who's he talking about? We're talking about the other believers. You see, the Lord had ministered to these people. And Lydia came to know Christ, and others did, and other people, and the Philippian jailer, and his household. And so there were a lot of people there at her home. They all gathered together when Paul and Silas came out of prison. They went to Lydia's house, and they had a meeting. The believers who were converted and baptized, and they met together, and Paul talked to them about the earthquake. I'm sure that he did. Paul talked to them about the conversion of the Philippian jailer and how he and his family heard the gospel and how that they were baptized, all of them, confessing Christ. So that's what took place here. They went out of prison, they entered the house of Lydia, and then they got together with all the brethren, all believers, Lydia and her household, his jailer and his household, and all of them. They'd spent some time together. See, they'd been beaten, and they had been mistreated, and they'd been set free, and the jailer had washed their stripes and given them things to eat, and then the magistrate set them free, and they came down to Lydia's house, and they were comforted. That's what he said. They were comforted. They comforted them. They comforted them. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they exhorted these people. Now they're going to leave. Paul's leaving. He's leaving town. And he wanted to exhort them to look to Christ. Look to Christ. Now, these are new believers. You look to Christ. and you continue in Christ, continue in faith, and abide in the truth of the gospel and the doctrine of Christ, and with many, many words of comfort. That's the reason I read that Isaiah chapter 40 a while ago. God says, comfort my people. Say to my people that her sins are forgiven, her sins are pardoned, her iniquities passed. She's received in the hand double, Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Comfort my people. Comfort my people. Encourage them. And then Paul departed. All right. Now, chapter 1, chapter 17, verse 1. Paul departed. And he did what he did in chapter 16. He bypassed some places. He didn't stop in all these places. It says in verse 1 of chapter 17, and when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, the Lord evidently had gave Paul directions not to preach there, not to come there now, later on maybe, but not now. But pass by these places and go to Thessalonica. That's where what the Lord wanted him to go. Go to Thessalonica, and there is a synagogue of the Jews at Thessalonica. Now, there wasn't a church at Thessalonica now. It's going to be one. This is going to be the beginning of it. And Paul, in verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, what was his manner? Well, this is what he did everywhere. He didn't go to the synagogue at Philippi because there wasn't one. But he went to the river and met with some believers there who worshiped God, and that's when the church started at Philippi. But in other places, Paul goes straight to the synagogue, straight to where the Jews met together and read the scriptures, and Paul preached to them, preached the gospel to them. And here in verse 2, as his manner was, he went in unto them, under whom? Under the Jews that assembled there, and three Sabbath days. That didn't mean he just preached to them on the Sabbath day, but it was 3 weeks. Those were high days and special days when people, many, many, many people came. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Luke 4, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as the custom of all Jews. And that Paul went for 3 Sabbath days. But I'm sure during those 3 weeks, he preached to everybody he could, everybody that would lend him an ear. And what did he preach? Well, turn to Luke 24. This is what he preached. And see, the New Testament wasn't written. It was the Old Testament, writings of Moses and the prophets. All right, Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And that's what Paul, when he went to these synagogues, that's what he did. 3 Sabbath days. He ministered to these people concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, I want to give you an example of the way that Paul ministered to these Jews. He'd come in the synagogue. Maybe there's some believers there, but most of them were not. And Paul would come through and he'd preach to them. Now, turn to Acts 13. And I'll show you exactly how he preached to them, give you a picture, a type, of how he ministered to these Jews in the synagogue. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 14. Here it is. Acts 13, 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after reading the law, they always read the law and they read the prophets. They did that every Sabbath day. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And remember who Saul of Tarsus is now. Everybody knew him. All of these rulers of the synagogue knew Saul of Tarsus. He was a student of Gamaliel. He sat under the top teachers in the whole Judaism. He knew he was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a close friend of the high priest. He got letters from the high priest to go and persecute Christians. This man is like Ananias said to the Lord, I've heard about this man. I've heard about this man. Everybody's heard about this man. So when he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he wasn't a stranger. He's one of the most renowned, blameless, law-abiding, moral religionists of the world. And when they said to him, you've got something to say? Say it. All right, here he is. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, men of Israel, Jews, you that fear God, give audience, listen to me. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm he brought them out of Egypt. And about the time of 40 years he suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot, the 12 brothers. And after that, he gave unto them judges by the space of 400 years, 50 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. That was King Saul. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will. Now, of this man, see, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The man that I preach unto you is Christ Jesus. Jesus. And when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, remember, John the Baptist came, we read that a while ago, where he lifted up the high places and brought down the rough places and prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's John the Baptist. Read on. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Redeemer. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm unworthy, not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of his salvation sin. And they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not and didn't know the voice of their prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they fulfilled them in condemning him. And though, talk about Christ, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they'd fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. That's what Paul preached to. That was his message. He did that for three Sabbath days and all the other times. He just kept talking to those Jewish people about Christ. Look back at verse 3 of my text. Now, Acts 17, verse 3. He says here, verse, an opening and alleging, in other words, setting forth, setting forward. That's what Paul, setting forward. He reasoned with them. Verse 2 said, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbaths, they reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging, setting forth that Christ must needs have suffered. Christ the Messiah must suffer and rise from the grave. He must suffer and be risen from the dead. He's got to be raised from the dead. This one is the Christ. He's my subject matter. He's the sum and substance of all the prophets. He's the only Savior and the Redeemer of sinners. That's his message. What happened? Verse 4. And some believe. Some of them believe. The power of the Word of God preached by God's prophet, preacher, brought forth faith. They believe. Some of them believe. Some of them believe that Jesus is the Christ. And they consorted with Paul. They associated with Paul. They associated with him privately and publicly. They joined hands with him and forces with him. They heard the word. They learned from Paul. They believed. They consorted with Paul and Silas. And listen, not a handful now. Some of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. What are we looking at here? I tell you what, we're looking at the great beginning of the church at Thessalonica. Listen to this. Someone said, a great number of Greeks believed. Who were these Greeks? Well, I can name three. They were proselytes to the Jewish religion. One was called Cornelius. Remember Cornelius? He was a Greek. But he was a Greek who believed the gospel. He was a Greek to whom God had opened the heart through Peter's preaching. Another was the eunuch. He would be called a Greek. You say, well, no Greek in Ethiopia. Well, anybody that's not a Jew's Greek. That's the Gentile, see. That's what we're talking about. What about Lydia? She wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. And these people all over the world had read Moses, read the Scripture, and read the law, and had come to the synagogue, and they met there. And Paul for three Sabbath days. Three Sabbath days. He preached to them. Let me show you another example of Paul's preaching, Luke 24. And this is the way what our Lord said. Paul, I know, said the same thing. Listen to this. Luke 24, verse 44. Now here's the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to his disciples. Luke 24, 44. He said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things which are written in the law of Moses, what's the law of Moses? The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the first five books. Moses. And the prophets, who are the prophets? Samuel, all the other prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, keep naming the prophets, all of them, Christ, reason. And in the Psalms, 150 Psalms, every one of them concerning me. That's what Paul's saying here, and that's what Paul is reasoning with these Greeks and other people, and some of the Jews, and of the chief women, not a few, and a great multitude, are listening. And it makes sense to them. It's evident that God is teaching them the gospel of the Messiah, the Redeemer. Read. So then our Lord, verse 45, opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus is written, thus it behooved Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Go back to my text. I love that verse 4, Acts 17, verse 4. And some of them believed. And they associated, consorted with Paul and Silas, privately and publicly and openly. And among the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women. Lydia is one of those chief women, many of them. They believed. They believed, they were convinced that Christ is the Messiah. They associated with Paul and the apostles. They weren't ashamed of the gospel. And on this foundation, God Almighty built the church of Thessalonica. Great church. Paul wrote two epistles to this church. But I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And here is every man's experience. This is my experience and your experience and all these believers. This is our experience. This is every man's experience in regard to saving faith. God crosses his path, sends a preacher, sends the word, not a quartet, the word of God, a faithful preacher preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit attends the preaching of the gospel, and people listen. And they compare scripture with scripture and study the word. And they listen to the preacher preach the gospel of Christ, the truth of Christ. And that's when they believe. Now listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. And Paul says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Number one. Because our gospel came not unto you in word only. It did come that way, but not in word only. It came in power. Whose power? Power of God. The power of the Spirit of God. Awakening, quickening, revealing. In the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, confidence, as you know what manner of men we were among you. We were just people. But our gospel is the gospel of God. And you heard it. All right, look at the next verse. And you became followers, consorted, associated with. You listened. You associated with them publicly and privately. You became followers of the Lord, of us and the Lord, having received the gospel in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. How come you become a follower of these people? Because you believe the gospel. You believe the message. That's what unites us. That's what identifies us. That's what identifies us together. We believe the gospel, believe Christ. And verse 7, you became examples. This woman, Lydia. The Lord dealt with her heart, opened her heart, and opened her home. She became a witness. She became a person associated with the believers. You became examples to the people in Macedonia and Achaia. And you became a witness. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia, but in Achaia and every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so we don't need to brag on you. Just tell it like it is. We don't need to speak anything. You speak for us. And for you, they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and you turn from your idols. That's what a believer does. He believes the gospel, hears the gospel in power. He becomes a follower, he becomes an example, he becomes a witness, and he turns from his idols to serve the living God. And what's next? And to wait for his son from heaven. That's right. You wait. Up here in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Wherever Paul and Timothy was, they were usually together with Silas and others. But Silvanus, we believe that he's the first bishop at Thessalonica, and he's mentioned several times in the scripture. God raised up a pastor to minister to that church at Thessalonica. Now, here's a word I want you to listen. I want you to listen to me a minute. A word to all who preach. Would it not be more profitable for all of us who preached to spend more time telling sinners how the Lord saves sinners, how the Lord redeems sinners, like this right here, what we just read. Knowing, brethren, your election of God, our gospel came to you in word, not word only, but power, the Holy Ghost, much assurance. You heard the gospel, you believed the gospel. Rather than spending our time talking about how men are not saved, let's talk about how they are saved. I've heard preachers before start out a message. Now, I won't talk about how to be saved. But first, I want to tell you how you're not saved. And they spend 30 minutes talking about how you're not saved. That's not my job to tell people how they're not saved. There are 1,000 ways a man can't be saved, and only one way he can. He has one way of saving sinners. I don't need to tell you all the many ways he doesn't save people. Tell him the one way. Tell him the one way. There is but one way, one truth, one life. And I tell you, if I understand the way, I don't need to engage my time about what's not the way. That's right. And I say that to all preachers everywhere. And I've tried to adopt that way of preaching, style, or whatever you call it, preaching. Tell them who Christ is. Tell them what he did. Tell them why he did it. Tell them where he is now. Preach the gospel of Christ. And don't have to spend your time telling you what it's not. Tell them what it is. And if they hear it, that's what they heard it, and they believed it. All right, let's look at verse 5. Let's look at something here for a few moments. Acts 17, verse 5. But these Jews at Thessalonica that believed not, they were moved with envy, took upon unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company and set the whole city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people, to bring Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke out to the people. Who is Jason? Well, I read some things people said, but they don't really know. But Jason is more another one of these Cornelius, eunuch, Lydia, other people that believe the gospel. And Jason was a believer in Christ, a companion of Paul and Silas. He was a prominent man at a home there, and a lot of people are there. So the first thing they did was go to Jason's house. Why? Looking for Paul. Just like they went to Lydia's house because Paul was there, and Silas and Timothy and Luke. So they came down to Jason's house, these marketplace fellows, these lewd, baser sort fellows. The Jews had stirred them up, and they came looking for Paul. And verse 6 said they didn't find Paul. They couldn't find him. So they drew Jason and certain brethren, these believers, the church at Thessalonica, unto the rulers of the city. And they cried, saying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." You know what kind of people these are, just troublemakers, But these fellows, they brought a charge here that's very interesting. Listen. Verse 7, listen. They got Jason out there, and this is what they said. "Whom Jason hath received." Jason has believed and received these disciples. "And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there's another king, Jesus." Now, this is dangerous. It's dangerous here. These baser thought, lewd fellows, being stirred up by these Jewish Pharisees, they took up a cry that troubled the people. Because it says in verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. What was the cry? They took up this cry. And they troubled the people and the rulers. Jason has received in his house and entertained seditious persons who are contrary to Caesar, who are in rebellion against the government. And they're crying, there's another king. There's another king besides Caesar. You remember the Jews said, we have no king but Caesar. Well, these fellows got up this cry, there is another king. There is another king. And they identified him, Jesus of Nazareth is king. Well, they're telling the truth, aren't they? Richard Sibbes, writing on this, said this. Yeah, he's a king. He's not a king, not another king, he's the king. He rules, Richard Sibbes says, he rules heaven and earth. Heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. He rules all things. Angels, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, each one, angels and principalities, each one stands in his presence, awaiting his altars. That's our king. He rules all things, great and small. He clothes the lilies of the field. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without him. The hairs of your head are numbered. The least, minutest thing in his kingdom is under total control. He rules over the kingdom of his dear son and gives it to whomsoever he will. He rules over that which is good and over that which is evil, and will one day crush all evil under his feet. He rules by decree, he rules by design, and he rules by death. And he has all preeminence over all things, and he's my Lord. I'm amazed that these fellows didn't carry this a little further, but they didn't. By God's providence, look at verse 9. These people took up this cry, there's another king. And verse 8 says it troubled the people and the rulers, and they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason, what does that mean when they're taken security? These authorities, these magistrates. One writer said they provided bail. Security, they provided bail. They were satisfied with the explanation that Jason gave them, and the explanation that the brethren in his house gave them. And so they let him go. Turned them loose. Provided satisfaction, security, or bail. And just let him go. It's all over. And so in verse 10, so the brethren immediately sent Paul away, Paul and Silas by night to Berea. Now here's another city, and they sent them to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. I'm not going to weary you too much longer, but I want you to see this point right here. They left Thessalonica and came down to Berea. You might sometime, when you go to Berea, get some of those brochures about Berea and how the town of Berea got started. It was a religious group of people that named the town Berea the way they named it, because that these Bereans searched the scriptures to see if there'd be these things be so. There's a story about this. I'm, I read it somewhere, but somebody here will find that interesting and take it up. But he says here in verse 11, Paul's talking about the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, Paul is not comparing the native inhabitants of Thessalonica and Berea, but rather he's comparing the Jews in Thessalonica and the way they treated him in Thessalonica, and the Jews at Berea and the way they treated him there. That's what he's doing. He's comparing these people in Berea, like to those Jews down there at Thessalonica. Their attitude and their response to the gospel was terrible in Thessalonica. But here, let me tell you about these people. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word. They received the word of God with joy, as it is in truth, the word of God and not the word of men. That's how they received it. They received the word as it is in truth, the word of God. They received it in their hearts. Secondly, they received it with readiness of mind, eager to understand, eager to hear, eager to embrace it, like they did in Hebrews chapter 11. They received it, they embraced it, and held to it. And thirdly, and they searched the scriptures daily. Daily studying the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. They wanted to experience the power of the gospel. They wanted to experience the peace of the gospel. They wanted to experience the comfort of the word. They received it with a ready mind and searched the scriptures daily, daily, to feel the power and enjoy the peace and comfort of the word. Whether these things be so, oh my, they rejoiced in the word written and the word incarnate. Therefore, verse 12, many of them, if you find this kind of attitude, if you find people who, whoever they are, people who are like these Bereans, who hear the word, receive it with joy, as it is in truth the word of God, with a ready mind, with an eager heart to embrace it and to understand it, and who will search the scriptures daily, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, and seeking to experience the joy and peace and comforts of the word, they'll believe it. Now you write it down, they'll believe it. And many of them believe. Therefore, many of them believe, and of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of the men, not a few. They believed it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He hath everlasting life. All right, may God bless his word to our prophet.